And so I think each point will kind of be from a different passage. So let's start in Galatians chapter 6. I like to preach on laws of the harvest, or principles of sowing and reaping. Now, this is a subject that I've heard preached before, and you've probably heard other preachers go through these main points that I'm going to outline for us tonight. But I really have felt this past week, if nothing else for myself, that I need to review the laws of the harvest, and that we probably need to do that together as a church. Why? Well, there's some harvesting coming up. You say, we know, the corn's in the ground and the wheat's being harvested now and fall is coming. No, I mean a spiritual harvest coming up. Do you believe that? I believe it, Faith Bible Church. There is a harvest coming, and there are certain rules, laws, that we need to understand as we are going into this harvest. We need to look forward together with eyes of faith into the future of Faith Bible Church, and we need to see a harvest there. One reason, because God said it's there. The fields are white, all ready to harvest. I don't even think I have that in my notes, but that verse comes to my mind. That is God's description of the harvest. And it is ahead for Faith Bible Church. There it is waiting, and we need to be ready to reap the harvest. And so tonight we must understand the laws of the harvest if we are going to be faithful in the harvest that is coming. My burden tonight is that we can lay some foundation, get our minds more on the same page of what it is to be working in the fields for our Lord and what it means to be harvesting in those souls for Him. We need to be on the same page and understand some foundational things here as we get into more outreach at Faith Bible Church. I'm thrilled with what we're doing, but it is just a stepping stone. And I think a lot of you would realize that right off. What we are doing right now and really getting into more is getting these door hangers out into our communities. And so we're putting them on doorknobs all around. We're pushing up through E-Town right now for the last several months. And we're making pretty good progress. We could use more street people, as we call them. Okay, the street people are the ones that go out, and then we have packet stuffers that stay here, and their role is to prepare the materials for the next time that the street people are going to be going out. All right, so the packet stuffers, they prepare the materials and also pray for those who are out. And we're doing pretty well. I'm encouraged. We're getting material out, and we're even receiving some phone calls related to that. Got one this morning. Called the office this morning. And so that is neat to see some of those fruits. That means that people are becoming more aware of Faith Bible Church. I never heard of that church before. There's people around that live in this area. They've never heard of us. Oh, I just heard of them. I had that on my door. And so some will call. It's a good thing that's happening. We're getting more, in a modern term, awareness, okay, of Faith Bible Church. And that's great. But, as many of you probably realized when I began to speak about that effort, that's just a stepping stone. That's not the end. That's not where we want to be on a regular basis. That's just moving in the right direction. And it's something we will certainly continue, but I am burdened to do more. How about you? I am burdened that we would be reaching out more to our communities, using various methods and different approaches. It's going to take some strategizing, if we could use that word. We need to go about it intelligently, led by the Lord. And that's been one of my greatest prayer requests lately, and I put it forth to the whole congregation. Let's be praying for God's wisdom in this matter, because we need His mind in these things, and there is much work to do, many, many hours of work to do, and we need His leading in this. And so let's have some foundational thoughts here and understand some laws of the harvest this evening. We're in Galatians chapter 6, and we'll start in verses 7, 8, 9. It speaks a little about the principles of sowing and reaping. It says there in verse 7, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So there's several things I want to start off with there. First, notice that, this is not my first point, but notice that when it comes to the principle of sowing and reaping, there's an understanding presented in the Bible about it being between good and evil. Take your whole lifestyle into consideration, for example. Okay, here it's talking about it in that context. If you sow good seed in life, you're going to reap God's blessings. But if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap the works of the flesh. And so it's not speaking specifically about evangelism in this context. It's speaking more of your life and between good and bad. Nonetheless, there's principles of sowing and reaping here that we can then apply to evangelism and what the Bible says about sowing and reaping and laws of the harvest. So here is speaking about sowing to the Spirit, sowing to the flesh. And the first law that I want us to notice here is that you harvest after you plant. You see, that's happening here in the context of sowing to the flesh and sowing to the Spirit. The first law is you're not reaping until after you've planted something. Notice that, first of all, here in verse 9, we see that. Okay? It says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." You see, it's in due season. It's not right away. It's not immediately. The harvest does not appear overnight. It takes a long time sometimes for that seed to germinate and to grow into the harvest. In this context, it could be a bad harvest or it could be a good harvest, depending on what you're sowing. But if we take them to the context of evangelism, understand, as we toil in God's fields and as we be faithful, we have to be in the long game. See, the farmer must be committed to the long term when he plants that seed. And we have to have that same concept and understanding of this law of the harvest, that you harvest after you plant. Now, we'll mention another verse in the Bible, how Paul planted the seed, Apollos watered, God gives the increase. We'll cover that principle there. But understand there that there's someone who may have gone before you who planted, and you may come along and harvest what may feel like pretty quickly, almost overnight. Wow, here's a harvest, and I get the blessing of being able to bring it in. That does happen sometimes. God can work in that way. But understand, for a general rule, you pretty much harvest after you plant. After you plant. Someone else may plant before you, but it's typically after you plant is when you experience the harvest. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, it says, Paul was speaking there, "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." And there's an implied waiting time there. There's an implied passage of time in that process. Paul was the one who started it. Then Apollos had to come along and he watered it. But it was God who did the work in the end, of course, and gave the increase. But it took time. The harvest was after the planting. Maybe a long time after. I think of Psalm 126, verse 5. It says, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." The idea of sowing in tears is the idea of agonizing over a long-term basis. And it's long and hard work that you are involved in. It's toil. So much so, it could bring you to tears. Sounds like raising kids, okay? You have to be in it for the long term. And you have to understand that up front. You harvest after you plant. You have to be in there planting. You have to be in there cultivating. You have to be doing that, and it takes some time. I think of farmers often, and I have some farmer friends, and the Bible uses that illustration so much here. And that farmer really needs to be committed for the long term. How about you? You think of that farmer. They may have to start with a patch of woods. And they have to take those woods, and over years they slowly turn that into pasture land, cutting down the logs and clearing the land. And then that land, it's probably not ready to grow a good crop, and so they have to put fertilizer on there and all kinds of different things to prepare that. There's likely rocks to be removed, and they'll spend hours toiling in the hot sun picking up rocks. It's the only way to do it. Maybe somebody makes some machine that'll do it, but the way we did it, you walk next to the skid loader and one rock after another, throw it in, one rock after another. And if you're by yourself in the field, it's in and out of the skid loader all the time. And it's just hard work. It's hot work. And you have to be committed to the long term. Faith Bible Church, are we understanding this law of the harvest, that you harvest after you plant? And are we willing to be committed to the long-term toil to see the harvest come in? So number one, you harvest after you plant. Number two, another law of the harvest. Let's turn to, it's in the same passage. We'll just be there. Verses 7 through 8 of Galatians. So we'll see another harvest here, another law of the harvest, and that is, you harvest what you plant. You harvest what you plant. And so the idea is, you plant an apple, you're going to get an apple. That's pretty simple. I know, it's basic, but that's something we need to understand. What is it that we're planting? Are we planting the right thing? So it says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. You see, the seed produces after its kind. You harvest what you plant. You plant the apple, you'll get an apple. You plant the orange, you'll get the orange. You plant a prosperity gospel, you'll get a prosperity gospel result. You draw people in with the wrong kind of thing, and that's what you're going to have to keep them with. That's what you're going to harvest. And that's not the kind of thing we're interested in here. What is the seed that we're planting? We're planting the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and that's what they need to see. And so you harvest what you plant. It says in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 8, he that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity. You don't get ahead sowing iniquity. You may think, deceived for a time, that you do, but no, you reap emptiness, vanity, if you sow iniquity. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 18, the wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, it says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Sow to yourself righteousness, reap in mercy. It's a good thing that you'll reap if you sow good things. It's interesting in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 19, you can turn over there. Leviticus 19:19. God is prescribing his laws to his people, and he was making it clear that you don't want to mix things. Leviticus 19, verse 19. We see this principle again come out, that you harvest what you plant. Leviticus 19:19, it says, ye shall keep my statutes. Thou shalt not let thy cattle gender with a diverse kind. Thou shalt not sow thy field with mingled seed. Neither shalt shall a garment mingled of linen and woolen come upon thee. You see, because God was trying to prescribe order. And there are churches who are trying to sow diverse seed. By God's grace, we won't ever be one of them. We will preach, we will sow the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's that which men's souls need. So don't plant diverse seed. Does that mean you can't be creative in your evangelism? No, that's not what it means. We definitely need to be creative in our evangelism. It's going to take thinking out of the box to reach this generation for the Lord. Not compromise, but thinking out of the box. Being guided by God's Spirit, led by Him, His wisdom leading us as we plant the seed in our community. But you harvest what you plant. And so keep that law in mind. Number one, you harvest after you plant. Number two, you harvest what you plant. And now number three, notice with me in Matthew chapter 13, you harvest more than you plant. Matthew chapter 13, please turn over there. Matthew chapter 13. And here is that very familiar passage of the soils, the various kinds of soil. And you'll notice in chapter 13, verses, about 3, verse 3 down through verse 9, you have Jesus giving the initial parable of the different types of soil. But then he comes back later in this chapter and explains what each type of soil is in verses 18 through about 24 or 25, 23, okay? So they're kind of split up with some things in between, but Jesus takes time to give us this really great illustration to help us in our evangelism efforts and understanding the laws of the harvest, and then he clarifies it further. And the law I want to point out is you harvest more than you plant. Let's read the passage here, verse 3. It says, "And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no roots, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." Remember, the harvest, you harvest more than you plant. And let's see Jesus' explanation further down in verse 18. It says, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When any one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one." Who's that? That's Satan. "And catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he that received seed by the wayside." So remember, the birds come along and they snatch that away. The devil tries to deceive many and do the same thing in the souls of men today. Verse 20, "But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. You see, that's speaking of, toward the end, the good soil, a bountiful harvest. Wouldn't you agree? Now think about this with me for a second. What would you consider to be a bountiful harvest here at Faith Bible Church? Would it be 100 people getting saved? Would it be 200? Would it be the pews all filled? What would you consider to be a bountiful harvest? There, of course, would be the harvest of souls that we're praying for, and that is what we would be seeking. But there would be more things that could be harvested. You could put it in other contexts, like giving would go up as a result. People understanding the Bible better as a result of our outreach, coming and starting to learn and sit under the teaching. Harvest could go into more areas. What would you consider to be a bountiful harvest? I'll tell you on a real practical level, here's what I would consider to be a bountiful harvest. If we had 20 new converts sitting here that were sitting on the edge of their seats and they were soaking up every word and asking questions afterwards and being discipled and praying in the prayer room, that would be a bountiful harvest. You say, well, that's only 20. Could you imagine? That would be amazing, and I would love to preach to those 20 because they're soaking up every word, and it's all new and neat to them, and they're learning about living a victorious Christian life and growing and reaching their loved ones. That would be a bountiful harvest if we got to that point where we saw the Lord do a work such as that. You know that's possible. That is definitely possible. And we need to understand the law of the harvest is that you harvest more than you plant when that seed lands in the good soil. So in a successful harvest, the cost of the seed is always less than the value of the harvest. Or there wouldn't be anyone in the business of farming, okay? If they couldn't make a profit, there would be just a bunch of gardens everywhere, right? So there must be the cost of the seed being less than the value of the harvest if it's going to be successful. And that's what verse 8 is talking about, that good ground that is able to bring forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. That is a successful harvest. Psalm 126, verse 6, it says, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." You see, these are laws of the harvest. These are promises from God's word that we have to put our faith in. As we move forward for the Lord and we reach out from our church more into our communities, we have to take God at his word here. It says, "Shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." Some in hundredfold, some 60, some 30. That's what happens when the seed lands in good soil. So, if the law of the harvest is you harvest more than you plant, then what's happening, Pastor Dan? Good question. Well, I would say we're just starting. You harvest after you plant. There's much work to do. But good soil produces a bountiful harvest, it says. That's the kind of harvest I want to see happening here. And so what's happening, Pastor Dan? Well, I think we need to understand some things about soil. What if you are not getting a harvest and you're working hard and you're planting and you're doing your job as far as you know and you're not getting a harvest? Well, there's a problem with something then. There's certainly a problem somewhere and it needs to be solved. First consideration, is there a problem with God? Not at all. God's going to keep his word. God is going to work in hearts. God is going to bless. And so if this law of the harvest is true, but you're not seeing it to be true, where's the problem? It's not with God. God is going to be faithful. But I think there's two other places that need to be considered. Is there a problem with the soil? Well, God's word talks about that. And so that's a very real possibility. And I think as we look at our community around, we would have to conclude in our country the way it is, there are some major problems with the soil, isn't there? It's unfortunate. So many homes are wrecked. It's a terrible thing that the Bible is not regarded as from God and authoritative even in our land. It's horrible what has taken place in our country over the decades. There is a problem with the soil. But I want you to understand tonight that that soil does not exist in every soul in our community. Though it may be generally true, it is not every soul. Because God's word says that the fields are white already to harvest. And so that means there is good soil out there. It's just up to us to be faithful, and God will lead us to it. It's that simple. Because he said that you can reap a bountiful harvest, and you harvest more than you plant. This is God's illustration. That farmer puts that seed in the ground, and he doesn't expect to get one seed back. No, he's expecting to get a whole ear of corn back, a whole bunch of kernels back. Because you harvest more than you plant. I wonder how much Faith Bible Church counts the cost. I wonder how much Faith Bible Church values a soul. I wonder how valuable the harvest is to us. It's going to cost us something to reap a harvest. It's going to cost us time. It's going to cost us money. I wonder, would Faith Bible Church, I'm not saying we should do this, but if Faith Bible Church had to put out $50,000 and every one of us had to dedicate, say, 3 hours a week to where we could receive that bountiful harvest of 20 new converts that are sitting on the edge of their seats, would Faith Bible Church be unified to spend that, to expend those resources, your time? I wish we could just write a check and, you know, there they are. But it's going to take some commitment. The farmer has to be in it for the long term. The farmer has to value that harvest. He has to put value into that soil and into that seed. It's all supposed to be important to the farmer if he's going to be a successful farmer. Are we willing to meet the cost of what it takes to receive that bountiful harvest? Do we place the proper value in a soul, the value like Jesus Christ put in your soul? But the good ground exists. It may not be everywhere, but the good ground does exist. There are problems with the soil, but the good ground does exist. I believe we can look at the illustration of fishing and learn a thing or two. Bible uses the illustration of farming and the illustration of fishing to compare these things when it comes to evangelism. And something I've learned about fishing is that you will probably not catch fish if you're not casting your lure where the fish are. A large part of fishing is finding where the fish are. And that's the same thing for evangelism. A large part of evangelism is going to be finding where the good soil is. I think of fishing. There's this idea of fishing called spoon plugging, okay? I don't know if anyone ever heard of it before, but it was kind of a big deal. And on Wikipedia it says, a spoon plug is a form of fishing lure used for deep water casting and trolling, all right? The idea is you're using this special lure to find out where the fish are. First, you troll along at a I think you start at the top, at a surface level. Then you pass along again with another lore that goes a little lower. Then you pass again with another lore that goes a little lower. And you're trying to find out where the fish are. They're generally in schools. You look at the lay of the land and how the shore is and the time of day in different conditions. And through the right understanding, without a fish finder device, people used to be able to find the fish. And if they were successful in finding the fish, the good soil, the fish would bite at that lure. And it's interesting. I'll go on and read here. It was invented in 1946, this whole spoon plugger thing, by Elwood L. Buck Perry. So the idea is Perry combined science with a logical approach to fishing to create a total fishing system. He is credited as being the father of structure fishing and was later inducted into the National Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame. Why'd you read all that, Pastor Dan? Well, because Buck Perry was my wife's grandfather. And I just had to brag a little bit, I guess. But his whole concept of fishing was locate the fish. Knowledge is success was his key phrase. And you had to find where the fish are. And the same thing goes with evangelism. It's very simple. There's good soil. It exists out there. But we're not going to find it if we're not faithful in sowing the seed. And we will have to go at it intelligently and led by God's Spirit. We may identify a wayside and say, you know, that's not working. That's not being successful. And so let's adjust a little bit because we're finding some good soil over here. We may find a place where the birds keep coming and snatching it away, or the thorns are growing up and those people just will not accept it. They just will not take it. The soil is not the good soil. And so we need to really be led of the Lord in this, don't we? We really need God's wisdom. And so if you're not getting a harvest, there might be a problem with the soil to consider. Also, if you're not getting a harvest, there might be a problem with the farmer. Who's the farmer? We are. Okay? We're the ones that are sowing the seeds. We're the laborers. And there might be a problem with the farmer. When a farmer has a struggling farm, it might be because he doesn't have the right knowledge. He might not know a certain technique that he needs to employ in his fields. He might not be aware of the quality of the soil and how it's testing. He may lack the right knowledge. Is that our case here at Faith Bible Church? It could be. Though I would say we've had training in how to share the gospel. We've done some of that in the past. We need more of it. But even without specific focused training, we all should know how to share it. We believed it, didn't we? We accepted the Lord as our Savior, and we had to understand the gospel to get saved ourselves. And so then we should be able to share it, and the knowledge should be there. So I would not say that that is a major problem that we have, though something to consider. But what about farming again? So the farmer may lack some knowledge, and he may need to learn some things if his farm is going to be successful. But I would say often if a farm is not being successful, the problem may lie with his values. He doesn't value that seed, maybe. He doesn't understand how important that seed is and the power that that seed contains. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation, and we need to believe it. We need to value it. We need to value what it did in our own lives and what it could do in someone else's life if we get it into the right soil. You see, the farmer may not value the right things. He may not value the seed properly. He may not value the soil properly and care for it and cultivate it and work on it. He may not value the harvest. He may get some seed out. It may produce something. But then he doesn't care when harvest time comes. He lets some of it rot away. He doesn't care for it and take it in carefully and making sure it's moving through the process into the silos. He may not value the harvest. What about us, Faith Bible Church? Do we truly value the souls of men? Or is it all about our own soul? And so the farmer's values may be messed up. There may be a problem with the farmer, with his knowledge, maybe with his values, or maybe with his health. Maybe that farmer can't get out because he's just getting older. Maybe that farmer can't get out because he has physical ailments. And we've seen that happen with farms around here, haven't we? I think of a farm just down the road, and the farmer got Parkinson's disease and eventually passed away. You know what was happening to all the buildings and the fields and the people who helped him and different things? It started degrading year after year. And so health is a very real issue that farmers or anyone have to deal with. There may be a problem with the farmer's health. What about Faith Bible Church and our spiritual health? I think of back at our revival meetings and how we really were focusing during that time about the issue of hurts in our lives. And all that was a blessing. You know, we need to continue to work on that. We need to continue to improve our spiritual health, I think, in that specific area. It may be a bitterness that you're struggling with in your life. You know what? That's going to affect how successful the farm is. That's going to affect the harvest. It may be secret sin. Your spiritual health may be struggling because there is sin that you know is in your life and you've been keeping a secret. It's going to affect the harvest. And so if our spiritual health is struggling, then Faith Bible Church, it's time to get it right with God. It's time to say, all right, we've got to be pure before the Lord, clean vessels so He can use us in His harvest fields. And so there might then be a problem with the farmer. But the law of the harvest is that you harvest more than you plant. And we need to believe that, Faith Bible Church. Some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. But that's the law of the harvest. You harvest after you plant. You harvest what you plant. You harvest more than you plant. And finally, understand, number four, you harvest proportionately to what you plant. See how this relates with number three, okay? You do harvest more than you plant, but understand you harvest proportionately to what you plant as well. The harvest is typically within reasonable proportions. So don't expect much harvest if you plant very little. There will be an increase. God's word says that. That's what happens when the seed goes into good soil. There will be more, but it's going to be within reasonable proportion to how much you plant. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, speaking in the area of giving, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." The farmers got their corn in 2 months ago, maybe. Imagine with me, you buy, say, $20,000 worth of seed corn, okay? You take that, you plant maybe 300 acres. My numbers are probably off. But the farmer goes through this whole consideration. I've got $20,000 I'm putting into that seed corn. There it is. It's all delivered and sitting on a pallet. And then the air drill comes along. They put that out into 300 acres or something. And then harvest time comes, and the farmer is figuring this all out. That's probably going to produce about 200 forage wagons of feed, and I'm going to put that in here, and that will be enough then to feed my herd of, say, 120 cows through the whole year. So the farmers have to think through that. They have to understand how those things work. But what they're realizing is that there's a certain proportion. If I put $200,000 in, that much seed corn, that much acreage, there's going to be a certain proportion of harvest. You harvest proportionately to what you plant. And so the understanding is if you plant more, you can reasonably determine the result. There's going to be more harvest. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 8, "Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor." You harvest proportionately to what you plant. Faith Bible Church, as we close, this is my burden, that we plant more. I'm excited about what we're doing, but there is so much more that we need to do and will be doing soon. I don't know all the details of that, but I got a whole lot of ideas, and I'm excited about sharing. Pastor and I are excited about what God is going to do. But as we go into these things in the future, understand it's going to cost us some things. There's going to have to be some dedication on all of our parts, not just the people who are coming to soul winning, okay? Everyone needs to get involved. Understand there's some laws that are going to be played out, the laws of the harvest. We have to be in this for the long term. We're going to get what we sow. There's going to be an increase, but it's going to be proportionate. If we plant more, we'll get more. And so Faith Bible Church, I say, let's plant more. Let's trust God. Let's recognize these are some of the fundamentals to understand, but there is a time to move forward, and that is now. Let's move forward planting for the Lord, and He will bless. Let's bow our heads in prayer. And Pastor, you can come and close as you see fit. Lord, I ask that you would unify us around the efforts of reaching this community for you. Oh God, we need all hands on deck. I pray that as a result of this message, there would be some more people that would be all in. Lord, you've called us all to this work. The Great Commission is for every single one of us. And I'm excited because there is something for each one to do. So Lord, I pray that you would burden us together, that you would lead us forward in your wisdom, that you would make things clear and provide for us the resources and all these things that we need to get into your fields so that we can reap bountiful harvest. Lord, we need your help, and we pray for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor.